Jude, brother of Christ, but he wrote as the servant of Jesus Christ. To all Christians called, sanctified, and preserved, ask for mercy, peace, and love. He wanted to write about salvation, but he says there's a more pressing issue, and the more pressing issue is the false teachers that had crept in unawares to the church, wolves in sheep clothing, ungodly men, denying God and the Savior, Jesus Christ. He reminded the people that he was writing to and all of us, he says there's been people like this throughout the ages, and he mentions the Israelites that came out of Egypt but didn't go into the promised land, the angels that left their first estate, those in Sodom and Gomorrah. And again, one of the most serious sins in the Bible is keeping people from Christ, hindering them coming to Christ or turning them away from God. We talked last week that these false teachers were speaking evil of teachers that were trying to tell the truth. And he points out that Michael, the angel, the archangel, would not even rebuke Satan when they were disputing about the body of Moses, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." And yet these false teachers were mocking the teachers of truth, other preachers and teachers, and they were speaking evil of them, and that they were really speaking about things they did not know, because they did not know the truth. And Jude makes a statement. He said they're basically in it for the money, just like Balaam went to Moab to curse the Israelites as they were coming to Moab. So were these false teachers. And he compared them to some things that promised good, but were really not good. So he compared them to spots in their feast and clouds without water, fruit trees that were twice dead, and wandering stars. A wandering star is no good. You can't chart your course from a wandering star. You need a star that's fixed. And so he said, these false teachers, you know, they appear to be good, but they're evil. They appear to teach the truth, but they teach lies. And he says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied that God was going to bring his judgment on these teachers. And then we ended last week in verse 16 saying that they were murmurers, complainers, and they had no restraints. And so tonight we start in verse 17. And let me read verse 17 to get us started, where it says, "But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." There's two buts in this last section of the book of Jude, one here in verse 17 and one in verse 20. And when, you know, the writer of the scriptures uses the word but, he's making a contrast between what was before and what comes after. And both of these contrasts, he's asking people to remember something. Remember something. And so he says here in verse 17, "But beloved," again, writing to Christians, he says, "remember, remember. I'm not the first one that has warned you against these false teachers. Others have done the same thing. The apostles, those that saw the Lord Jesus Christ in the person, warned you of these false teachers as well." And we can go, I'll just give you a couple examples. Peter wrote about these false teachers. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he writes, "Be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." You recall when we studied the book of 2 Peter, these false teachers were saying, they were questioning the second coming of Christ. They said, hey, it's been a long time, and everything's the same. He hasn't come. And so they were casting doubt on not only Jesus' second coming, but everything else he taught. And again, Peter was an apostle. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ in the person. And Peter warned, same, and Jude says, hey, you heard the apostles. Again, I'm not the first one. And then we could go and look at Paul. Now, Paul talked about himself being an apostle out of season, but he was an apostle. Most of the letters that he wrote in the New Testament, he introduces himself that way, as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers. Now, I just want you to notice, if you make sure you read this verse and you notice the jots and the tittles. Make sure you notice the punctuation marks, because there's a comma after the word teachers. If you don't notice the comma, you think the teachers are described by the next phrase, which says, having itching ears. The teachers are not the one with the itching ears. The people that called the false teachers are the ones that had the itching ears. And they wanted somebody to tell them what they wanted to hear. And the false teachers came in and did exactly that. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And so Jude is saying, here's the apostles. Peter's one, and the others, Peter references the prophets. The prophets in the Old Testament told us that these false teachers were going to come. So he says, I want you to remember. I've given you this warning, but I want you to remember that I'm not the first one to warn you about it. Others have said that these false teachers were coming. Verse 18, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. They told you the same thing that I'm telling you, that in the last times, mockers will come. Those that will make fun of the gospel and everything that goes along with it. Those that will deny it. Those that will teach it as not the truth. I mean, they will teach lies. They will teach falsehoods. And they'll mock God. They'll mock salvation. They'll mock the Savior. And they'll follow their ungodly lust. They'll do whatever they want. They will have no restraints. And if you think about our world today, it pretty well describes it. People are doing whatever they want to do. It doesn't matter that it's wicked. It doesn't matter that it's evil. And so Jude says they're not godly, they're wicked. And what he's saying, if we listen to him, he says, look, that's happening right now. As we speak, it's happening right now. It's in our day. And what he was saying is, we're in the last days because these false teachers are on the scene. Now, here's what I was thinking about yesterday as I was putting my notes together. It's been almost 2,000 years since Jude wrote this little book that's in the Bible. If he thought in his day, because the false teachers were prevalent, that he was living in the last days, what should we think today after 2,000 years? Now, I'm not making any predictions because I do not know when the last day is. I know the Lord is patient, that he doesn't count time as we do. One day is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. I know that he wants to give opportunities for people to get saved. He's not slack concerning his promises, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And by the way, that's why, you know, in every sermon and every lesson that's taught in this place, we try to get the gospel in. If the Lord is denying or delaying his second coming to give people time to get saved, then why shouldn't we in every service preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? I mean, if he's waiting, giving people an opportunity, why should we waste an opportunity and not give people an opportunity to get saved? So I know the Lord is patient. I know the Lord wants to give everybody an opportunity to get saved. That's why he's delaying his coming. I know that false teachers abound today, just like they did in Jude's day. They deny Christ. They deny that he's the only way to heaven. They teach other gospels that are not true gospels. They deny the existence of hell. And we even got religious people taking the blood, trying to take the blood out of the Bible, taking blood out of the song books. Our Bible says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. And so, I mean, we could go down the line and we could talk about some of the false teachings that are going on today, but they are widespread. And again, I don't know when the last day is, but I do know this. It's almost 2,000 years closer than when Jude wrote about it. And so it's a lot closer in our day than it was in his day. All right, look at verse 19. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. That verse, when it talks about separating themselves, these false teachers, by their false teaching, create divisions. They create strife. They get the people of God, if we're not careful, fussing with one another. Now, you that have been around long enough, you know that I believe there are some things worth fighting for. There are some things that we ought to stand for and not back down from. But I also believe there's a lot of things we're fussing about we ought not to fuss about. That we're more, we fight about preference. I believe we ought to fight about doctrine. I'm not so sure that we should waste our time fighting about preferences. They're sensual, that verse says. By the way, let me just finish my thought on when we get to fussing with each other, we take our eye off the true enemy. The true enemy is the devil. And if we're not careful, he'll walk around and devour us because we got our eyes on each other instead of on Christ and upon him. Sensual, they're worldly. The things of the world are more important to them than the things of God. And it's all so senseless because the things of the world are going to pass away. We cannot take them with us. I sat in the room with my dad and just sat in there. And he worked his whole life for stuff. And when I was there, not this time, but the last time, he said, you know, I'm realizing more and more that none of this stuff makes any difference because you can't take it with you. We're going to leave it all behind. And so many times we put aside the things of God and gather up the things of the world, and we should be doing just the opposite because the things of the world 100 years from now are not going to make any difference to us at all. Only the things that we've sent ahead to heaven are going to make a difference. And then it says in the last part of that verse, having not the Spirit. These false teachers do not have the Holy Spirit of God. And Romans chapter 8, verse 9 said, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And the Spirit that lives inside of us, if we'll listen to him, will help us discern those who do not have the Spirit. It will help us discern these false teachers. It'll help us to stay away from them. Verse 20, here's the second but. And again, Jude says but, and he says, I want you to remember something. Again, the first but and remember was, you've been warned before about these false teachers. This second but and remember is what you have in Jesus Christ. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Let me go ahead and read verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And so he says, I want you to remember what you have in Jesus Christ. I want you to remember your faith. I want you to build up yourselves in your faith. build up your faith. And you ask the question, well, how do we build our faith? How do I mean, that sounds like a good thing. How do I build my faith? We build our faith by trusting God, by trying God. And by the way, that's not a bad thing. We're invited to taste and see that the Lord is good. We're invited to put God to the test. We're invited to try him. We're invited to claim a promise and watch as he keeps that promise. We're invited to pray. And what better way to build our faith than to pray, ask God for something, and then to get it? What better way to build our faith? I mean, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we can see it, it's not faith. It's fact. I mean, if we can see it, we don't need faith. But the things that we can't see, that's what we need faith for. And what better way to build our faith than to become a man or a woman of prayer and watch God as he answers prayer after prayer after prayer. And he says there in that last verse, praying in the Holy Ghost. If I'm praying in the Holy Ghost is helping me know the things that I should pray for so that I don't pray amiss. And so God can answer my prayers and I can build my faith. And so again, if you stop and think about all the people that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of the faith as we know them. And again, I don't have the time tonight, but just think about the people that are listed there and think about how they trusted God step by step. Think about how their faith grew a little bit at a time. Think about the tests that God put them through and the promises that they claimed, and then saw God work in keeping those promises and answering their prayers, and how their faith grew. And so Jude is saying, build up yourself in your faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God. In the last part of Romans chapter 8, we're reminded that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Absolutely not. Nothing in this earth, nothing under the earth, nothing in the heavens, no powers. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. What Jude is telling us is that we need to keep ourselves there. We need to remind ourselves of the love of God. We need to remind ourselves of what he's done in the past out of his love for us. We need to remind ourselves of what he's doing today out of his love for us. And we need to remind ourselves of what he's going to do in the future. And that verse talks about it in the last part there where it says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's what he's going to do for us in the future. Now, you've heard me say, we have life now. We have life more abundantly given to us by Christ. But we look to the Lord Jesus Christ and his mercy for that eternal life that we're going to enjoy in heaven. And it's all because of his mercy, because we're all sinners. And the wages of sin is death, separation from him. But it's because of his great mercy, not giving us what we deserve, but giving us what we don't deserve, eternal life with him. Let me read verse 22 and 23 together. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So Jude's summarizing. He says, if you stay away from the false teachers that I've warned you about, that other apostles and prophets have warned you about, stay away from the false teachers. Build your faith. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Build your faith. Keep yourselves in the love of God, reminding ourselves what God's done for us in the past when he sent Jesus to die for us. Remind ourselves of what Jesus is doing now as he meets our every need. Remind ourselves of what Jesus is going to do in the future, and his mercy is going to take us to heaven. Jude says, if you do those things, the natural reaction or the natural thing that you'll want to do is share Jesus with somebody else. And so he says in verse 22, and if some have compassion, making a difference. You know, the way we can reach some people is to have compassion on them, to love them as Jesus loved them. I read a story about a woman of the world that was arrested for some criminal activity that she had participated in. And she was in line at the police station waiting for the paperwork to be processed. And a lady passed by and kissed her on the cheek and then went into another room in the police station. And she asked one of the policemen that was standing there, she said, who is that lady that kissed me on the cheek? And the policeman said, oh, that's Mrs. Booth, Mrs. William Booth, who you know as the founder of the Salvation Army. That's Mrs. Booth. She spends a lot of time here. And so the lady was still in line when Mrs. Booth came out of the room that she went into, and the lady stopped her and said, why did you kiss me a moment ago? And Mrs. Booth said, I just wanted to let you know, you seem like you didn't understand that there are people that love you, and I just wanted to let you know that I love you and that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. And the woman said, would you tell me more about him? And Mrs. Booth said, I sure can. And told her about Jesus and helped that lady ask Jesus to be her Savior. Sometimes it only takes an act of compassion. Sometimes it only takes letting know somebody that there is somebody that cares for them, that is willing to help them with a need that they have, or just maybe just, you know, express love in some way to that person. And so some have compassion, and that will make a difference in their life. And by the way, I think there's a lot of people in the world today that's just looking for somebody to tell them that they love them and for somebody to tell them that Jesus loves them. A lot of people in this world are not as fortunate as we are. I mean, as I look around the room, we know. I mean, we have people in this place that love us. We have people, you know, and our families that love us. There's a lot of people in this world that doesn't have anybody to love them. And a simple act of kindness, a simple act of compassion, sometimes can make the difference for them between heaven and hell. Just to know that somebody cares, just to know that somebody loves them. And in verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. What Jude is saying, there's others where we need to scare the devil out of them. We need to tell them that there is a hell. We need to tell them that it is a place of fire, that it is a bottomless pit where the worm dieth not, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we need to just tell them that they're headed for a Christless eternity. They're headed for an eternity in that place that was prepared for Satan and his demons, not for mankind. And if they go there, they're going there because they choose to go there. There's a way to escape. And so what Jude's saying is there are some you just need to hit right between the eyes with the 2x4 and remind them of where they're headed if they reject Christ. Now, Jude gives the Christians a warning. He says, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We don't love the sin. We love the sinner. And we got to be careful when we're dealing with some people that we don't get spotted with their sin. You've all heard stories, and I have too, of people that have tried to get people out of deep sin, and they've fallen into the deep sin themselves. And Jude's given us a warning. He said, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. He said, love the sinner, but hate the sin. Don't get caught up in it, because you could fall just as easily as the person you're trying to help. And then we come to the last two verses, the benediction of this book. Probably one of the most beautiful benedictions of all the epistles that are in the New Testament. Verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Of course, the one that he's talking about there is Jesus Christ, the one that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless to the Father. Not because of our righteousness, but because of his righteousness. And as I was studying that, you know, I sometimes like to let my mind just try to picture what it's going to be like. And when I was thinking about this verse, I thought about Stephen. I thought about, you know, Stephen, the one that stood for the Lord, the one that stood against false teachers in his day, and how he was stoned for that. And he said, as he was being stoned, the same thing that Jesus, one of the things that Jesus said from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And then he looked up into heaven. God peeled back the clouds and everything that separates us from that place that he is. And he says, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. Other places in the Bible, it talks about Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. And of course, we've always thought about that verse that Jesus stood because he knew that Stephen was about to come into his presence, about to go to heaven. And he was standing to welcome him into heaven. And I can just picture in my mind what it must have been like as Stephen came into heaven and Jesus presented him to God the Father faultless, without fault. I think Stephen was a good man, but he was a human being just like us, which means that he had some faults. But as he came into heaven, he was presented faultless before the Father. And it talks about exceeding joy. Can you imagine, just imagine with me, what it will be like to stand before God faultless? Again, not because of what we've done or haven't done, not because of who we are or who we aren't, but because of what Jesus Christ did for us. That joy, that exceeding joy to stand before him that Stephen must have felt faultless. And then I thought, that's the same thing that's going to happen to all of us. Hopefully, none of us will go to heaven the same way that Stephen did. But when we get there, we'll have the same joy because we'll stand before God the Father just like he did, faultless, and feel that same joy. To the only wise God. All these false teachers, they were talking about other gods. There's only one. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory. All glory should go to him. All glory. And majesty, we ought to lift him up. Dominion and power. One day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, both now and ever. And Jude says, amen, amen, amen. That's the way it should be, now and ever. So we finish up this little 25-verse book. I hope you enjoyed it. I told Pete last week, you know, I read different places in the Bible hundreds of times, and yet when you study it, and I'm sure Brother Ray and Brother Harry and Brother Leonard and those that teach Sunday school know what I'm talking about. When you study it, it's just, it's like the Holy Spirit just, you know, opens up a whole bunch of other stuff that you don't get when you're just reading. And so I hope you enjoyed it. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.